Welcome to the Numbers Game. I'm Jace and I'm joined with Nick and Marty. How are we going, guys?
Absolutely pumped, Jace. I've been listening to podcasts and pulling apart blogs for our audience. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about that. But personally going well. Nick, how are you, my friend?
Mate, personally going well. I've actually I had a thought the other day that I've stopped listening to podcasts. Yeah, I don't know why. Just yesterday I was thinking, because you obviously send me a lot of podcasts and I do listen to yours.
Is it the ones I'm sending?
No. I'll just be clear. They're the ones I am listening to. But I don't know. I find like as you go through a bit of a cycle with particular podcasts, I'm going through a cycle with just podcasts in general. I don't know what it is. It's interesting. Maybe I just needed a break, but I'm just not used to listening to them all the time. I think it's just trying to be a bit more aware, you know. If you're washing the dishes, just wash the dishes. Or if you're, you know, cleaning the yard up, just clean the yard. You don't need to be taking stuff in all the time. It's interesting. I just thought I'd bring that up. So I heard you say that.
It's funny you mentioned that. I've in reflecting now, thinking about that, I've also done the same thing over the last couple of months. And May, June, July, August are kind of our busiest 4 months where, like, I've got to be on all day, every day, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours I'm on. Now, usually what I do at nighttime is I'd read or listen to some more content kind of before bed as, like, a wind-down thing. But it got to a point where recently it was actually firing me back up or getting me too captivated or engaged. So, you know, nerd alert here. I actually reread all of the Harry Potter books over the last couple of months, and it's just my way of, you know, zoning out at nighttime before bed, just opening a book and flicking through a couple of pages. And yeah, just needed a bit of a reset. And, you know, I have just started another new book, you know, now that I'm getting back into it and listening to it again. But yeah, there was a good break there, Nick. It's interesting.
It's funny you said that. You say that. I had, I've had sleeping issues in the past and still have them. But one of the things that I revert to is reading fiction. Because you don't, you know, it's a story. It's not real. And it just really helps me wind down. So it's funny you say that. And I was actually the podcast that I do listen to regularly. And this is what actually got me this actual podcast, stopped me listening to podcasts. But it's the Imperfects, with the guys from the Resilience Project. And there was a guy on there who wrote a book, and I'm just trying to find his name, that just talks about how our attention has been stolen through screens. And then it went in, you know, we've actually lost our ability to focus. And that's not just we don't want to, we've actually lost the ability to, so we forget how to, which is why we, you know, we always grab for our phones or whatnot. And he then talked about the content that we take in and podcasts, and, you know, we're constantly taking stuff in. So at what stage, if you are washing the dishes or cleaning your yard up or, you know, putting clothes away or sitting in the sauna, are we just being in the moment and just not taking anything in and just, you know, listening, feeling what we're feeling in our body, listening to what we can hear outside? You know, you're going for a walk. Like, I sometimes go for a walk, I don't listen to anything. I just look around, and that's when some of the – he was talking about creativity, and that's when some of the most creative moments happen, when you're taking nothing in and just running things through your brain. So anyway.
You've taken me back to the 1980s, Nick. It's four channels that we had on TV, and there was a lot of time to explore, and that was one of the beauties of it. And they say with kids as well, to get them off the screen, it's amazing what they find to do. That's uniquely creative. Kids need to be bored in order to create, and it's the same for all of us as well.
What's the one thing that they tell us to do with meditation? Just stop and just don't do anything for 5-10 minutes.
Be present with your own thoughts and your own mind and just let it all go.
That's what we used to do all the time, you know. What, you don't need to take music in. Well, music is not so bad because I guess you're not you're not learning, but I just found there was this constant learning, which is great at the same time. It's great. But it's also okay to give yourself a break every now and then. And it doesn't have to be meditating. It can be just doing the mundane things that you do at home or going for a walk. So
The dog's nice too. Going for a walk with the dog, meeting the neighbours. Yep. Yeah, simple stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, to guys, back by popular demand, there's been a lot of talk about how popular the Morgan Housel episodes were. So before we throw to Marty, who's going to take us on another epic journey, just want to say that today's episode is brought to you by the team at Innovate Finance. So for all of your finance needs, there's asset finance, first home loans, investment properties. There's also commercial lending for those small business owners that need to get a leg up and need a hand as well. As well as asset finance, which I think I might have mentioned, but plenty of people in the market for new cars again at the moment, and they're getting prepared for the back end of the year and then gearing up for a big 2024. So for all of your finance needs, check out the team at Innovate, innovayt.com.au. Over to you, Marty.
Yeah, well, today I wanted to talk about, I was listening obviously to the Morgan Housel podcast and reading a few of his blogs, and one that leapt out of me was intelligence versus smarts. And I really enjoyed this, I think, because I could relate to it in many different ways. But he was basically saying that, you know, when you look at intellect, it's people that can learn stuff and reiterate stuff, having technical experience, rule-based abilities, whereas smarts comes into, you know, emotional intelligence, the ability to be a free thinker, to implement your own ideas and have deep connection with people on another level. So one's very analytical and logistical, and the other one's a bit more widespread in regards to how they operate on that EQ level. Mm. And the reason why it connected, because I always come back to being 17 years of age and not being the ultimate student at school, many different distractions, beautiful distractions like footy and tennis and cricket, and girls at the time were very popular. But again, I always questioned myself in regards to whatever I was interested in, I learnt back the front. Like I had an absolute curiosity and desire to get as much information about the things I loved as possible. But in a system that needs you to be multidisciplinary across many different aspects, that wasn't always a great thing for me, because if I didn't have a genuine connection to something, I just wouldn't be interested and I wouldn't learn it. Now, coming from the system, you know, you can be seen as a failure because of that. And I see a lot of young kids coming out of high school and university that they haven't like topped their numbers as they would wish they had of, and think that they're a failure and that life's going to be pretty miserable. And that's not the case. And one of the things that really hit me was doing a What Works business course at the age of 17, where I learned the fundamentals of business. I learned about marketing. I learned about engagement. And it just changed my life. And also working in a milk bar at a very young age and running the bread stand and just getting the dynamics of customer service in real time was really key components to being a business owner later in life, and actually having a good foundational base to be a good business owner and understanding what to do, when to do it, and connecting to people was a big one. So to me, in the early days in my 20s, I always thought, because I wasn't that great at school, I thought I was a bit of a failure, to be blatantly honest. But then I recognized it as a superpower, because I was able to do stand-up comedy and veer off into other areas. And what I realized was they were actually both important, intelligence and smart. So I was battling in my 20s thinking, no, I can do this better. It's all about the smarts and I'll just be intelligent the way I want to be. And then I was fighting almost against the system. But then I recognized that if you're really interested in what you're doing, you can utilize intelligence and utilize that same mechanism to really expand where you're heading and utilize it to best effect. And I just thought it was a really interesting conversation. Like Morgan was saying, that you see so many intellectual failures, you know, the people that have to do the next course before they ever take action on anything, or they have to get a certain mark, or they just can't take a move. And, you know, meanwhile, the doer ends up getting ahead, having experiential experience, having sustainable experience in the areas they want to learn, and get so far ahead. Now, that's a general statement, right? But you see this happening time and time again with business owners in particular. They run with an idea. They do it their own unique way. You know, they hit big And when I say that, as we know with the numbers on business owners, you know, some businesses fail too because they're not utilizing intelligence around that feeling as well. So to me, it was very clear that the answer was have your street smarts, be emotionally intelligent, connect to yourself, connect to your market, connect to people, looking after people, and then utilize intelligence to fuel that on your own accord based on your own methodology coming from what you're pursuing, as opposed to going, I'm not smart if I'm not doing this, this, and this, and this, what everyone else is saying I should be doing to be, you know, successful in life. And I thought I'd just bring that up as an opening point because I think a lot of business owners would relate, but then there's a lot of people that feel trapped and fixed in what they do as well. So that's just an opening comment, gentlemen. What are your thoughts?
I'm intrigued. It's something that, again, I always love it when you bring things like this to the table, Marty, because it forces thought. It forces thought and unpacking things. And I guess even just going the difference between intelligence versus smarts. Like I think I've always been someone who's, I guess, had a lot of emotional intelligence, a lot of empathy and the ability to share and talk and communicate really, really well. But then I guess how that's backed by intelligence in what I chose to do as a career, like how I've studied and worked hard to understand accounting and small business and financials, which the numbers in finance and accounting weren't my strength. Like it wasn't something that I chose to do because I was, you know, really loved doing and was really good. I had to actually study and work to get that bit. But what I could do was the emotional intelligence and empathy side where I can talk to a small business owner and understand what they're going through and offer different advice. Yeah, it's something, yeah, I'm interested to further unpack because I've never thought about it before.
It's really interesting. I agree. But then you think about it and to me it's kind of obvious. Like I look at situations and like, oh yeah, that's right. Like you think about a highly intelligent entrepreneur that comes up with a great idea that then surrounds themselves with people who can get shit done, you know. And you say smarts, you know, I say street smarts, deal makers, or, you know, just people that can run businesses. But on the flip side of that, I think about people that want to be business people, deal makers, or people with the smarts and that know how to grow a business that then need the intelligent people to get all the ducks in a row. And I think about myself, and I'm happy to share this. But I see myself with the smarts in this context. I see myself with the smarts, but not the intelligence. So I think I understand business and how to read people and how to build a business and sell. But as far as building it, I think I need people with a higher level of intelligence than me to do certain things so we can go forward. So yeah, it really resonates with me what you're saying. So I'm keen to unpack it.
Yeah, and I think in context, you go, if you have a heart surgeon, you want them to be intelligent and fixed in what they do. So they do it every time, the same thing, it works, they've got a great track record. You absolutely want that. The same with a pilot. You want a pilot to have high intelligence in what they do. They, you know, but again, it's the same with the heart specialist to go, how does the heart link with the lungs and the liver and the, you know, the whole ecosystem of the body as well? And I'm sure they would know that as well. But sometimes you can get really fixed in what you do, and that's what you do without understanding the wider ecosystem of what can be built as well. So you certainly, you know, I actually honor intelligence highly, but I also honor storytelling, interconnectedness. It's the same with people. Like I think about this often in regards to, and people have questioned me on this in regards to working with people and finding the best within them. And to me, I wrote down, I said, progress in people. There are four main attributes that I have to inspire within a person. And that's the confidence in themselves. You know, that's critical for them to be able to move. It's like we talk about movement, getting movement. Confidence in your ability to engage and connect, highly important, you know, high EQ on that, bringing people towards you instead of scary. You know, people don't live in the world of a spreadsheet. Even though we utilize them in business, people don't give rats in regards to what you got on a spreadsheet a lot of the times. They want to know how it impacts them, how you're connecting as a leader to them, whether it's a, you know, it's a healthy relationship, whether it's not. People have human instincts, and you've got to honor that. Your confidence in your ability to execute, you know, you have to inspire that confidence, not only in yourself, but in others. And sometimes that's an incremental step, and you might be frustrated because that's not a bigger step, but sometimes you just have to get them to execute on a small thing so they have momentum and movement towards something that they want to work towards. You get them moving and you get them learning, right? Otherwise, they stay fixed of where they're at, thinking they're not good enough. And the confidence in your ability to accept reward. Mm-hmm. So often, I've seen really clever people that for whatever reason, whether it's a family story, that they just can't accept the rewards of their efforts, and somehow they bring that effort down, that reward down. And I had a brilliant I'll share a story about this. My dad was talking to Charlie and myself just the other week, and I don't get me wrong, I love my dad, but he was talking about the yabby story, how he, and I don't think I've mentioned this before, but he used to catch yabbies when he was 10 years old up until he was 16. He used to sell it to the local wholesalers, and then they used to sell it to the hotels. And he said, yeah, I did that for 6 years, but then people who lived up the stream decided to poison the river, so I couldn't actually, you know, sell the yabbies anymore because they didn't want me to get ahead. And I thought, I reflected on that, and I said, that is a terrible, terrible story to share, and this is the same, this is the inability to accept reward and to build momentum off reward. So you've got to be careful. And I've talked to a couple of people about this that have ethnic parents in regards to the world's always fighting against you, so you can't succeed. But it's almost an excuse. Now, I love him for who he is, but I have a lot of self-reflection. I'm going, I'm not wearing that story. I'm just not wearing that story because, you know, he might have seen one dead yabby for all I know, and it was because they ate something bad. You know, so I'm not going to carry that story through the next 10, 20, 50 years and not accept the rewards for my efforts. And so they're the sort of things you have to self-reflect on and be able to accept your rewards as they come and not sabotage the rewards because of an external story. Now, the intelligence side, you still need boundaries, structure, metrics, actions, and results. But if you haven't got the above drivers and the behaviors to enjoy those results, you'll never get there. So if you don't have the confidence in yourself, the ability to engage and connect, like imagine, Jace, how many accountants are great accountants but can't engage with people on a EQ level? And so they can't do BD. They can't generate opportunity. How many people are great at generating opportunity but can't execute in regards to the number crunching and getting the job done? And you might have strength in certain areas, but you want to have a holistic balance of the whole of those four attributes to really be really successful in what you do. But that's something that really resonated with me.
I'll definitely be sharing this section with the team, and I'm sure, you know, most of them are avid podcast listeners and they all listen to this podcast. They'll probably hear it organically anyway. But reading that where you talk about boundary, structure, metrics, actions, results, like that is such just the standard metrics of how we measure success. But then to drive people's success, the ability to develop that confidence, you know, connection, engagement, execution, even accepting rewards. So being able to measure the metrics and the results that then get them the reward and being comfortable and okay with receiving that. Like the journey we've been on in the past year at Future, we've brought in a lot of these KPIs. We've got dashboards that measure, you know, WIP productivity, you know, timesheet entries and whatnot. We're trying to gamify, you know, the results. You get people excited about hitting their targets. But ultimately, at first, the first couple of months, it actually went really bad. Like there was a lot of negative blowback. The culture took a bit of a hit and it felt like all we cared about was billing or making money. But really, that wasn't what we cared about. What we cared about was being successful and having a great team of performers, people who rocked in and were very good at their job and had a damn good time doing it. So when you actually get all those things to work hand in hand, that's when the magic happens. And we're starting to see that a year on in continuing to work on our people development and talk about how it's okay to be really good. It's okay to, you know, get your rewards.
Absolutely.
But then also having boundaries, having things to measure so that you can pay, you know, check and measure and then celebrate the success.
Yeah, I think I'm really glad you mentioned that, Jase, because we actually had a similar issue where things were gamified and it was all about numbers. But at the same time, people need to understand numbers is what makes the world go around. And I think as long as you're doing that in a healthy way, and you know, and people aren't losing in other areas because all you're driving is numbers, but people need to understand that numbers is how everyone's got a job. If the numbers aren't there, then we don't get to come in and do what we do. I agree, it's finding that balance. It can't be the absolute, well, it kind of is the be all and end all, because again, if they're not there, we don't come in and do what we do. So there has to be an agreed level of performance that we all need to get to, and everyone needs to understand that that's numbers and that's how we do well, as long as it's not at the detriment of other parts of their lives. So it's a really good point.
And I think you're absolutely right. You set the boundaries and then create the excitement in the accomplishment and towards the accomplishment of those results. And that's the thing, is how do you get people excited to improve? And rather than being fixed where they're at, that's always the challenge. And a lot of that is EQ, but you have to have the metrics in place to know what they're driving towards, you know, within a business. But it's creating a story and an excitement around the improvement and towards being that top performer that people are really connected into. So if you can get that combination working really well, it can become an absolute superpower. So it's I thought that was some really good stuff. The interesting one that I thought as a leader was fascinating was, and I do agree with this, and I've tried to get better at this over the years, is standing in the other person's shoes. There's always something that you want that person to attain from a business perspective for the business and for you, you know, for yourself. And you can get a bit selfish on it, but other times you just got to do it because of the sake, you got to get the business working. But actually understanding their objectives and, you know, working out a way forward. Too often we will say, this is what you need to do or else, instead of going, well, what do they want to do? How can we get to where we both need to get to, and really understanding that person. I call it standing in the other person's shoes, and I try and do that a bit more when there is conflict or when someone's not quite performing as I would want them to perform. I try and think of it from their perspective and then set a course in regards to going, okay, if I think you're this good, you're here, and at the moment you're only here, what am I missing? Because I'm obviously seeing the best side of you and I can see your, you know, what you're capable of, but what am I missing? And am I missing something? Or am I off the page? I could be totally wrong. And usually they'll give you great insights in order to go, well, I feel uncomfortable with maybe public speaking or being face-to-face with a client or actually picking up the phone and being proactive. I'm scared of what they'll think about me. And then you can overcome those types of handbrakes in order to let them go and start to bring them through more effectively. But I think it's always important as a leader to understand the other person's position, not only ours, and that's a huge IQ. And that's smarts. You know, that's smarts. You're picking up negotiation capabilities off that. You can learn that. But a lot of that's just sitting with a person and getting to know them a little bit more and how they can be most effective and where their improvement points need to be, either coming from them or with your insight talking with them. So, yeah, I think that's a big one. Jase, have you had much of that?
Yeah, I'm actually just thinking of an example of that today where I didn't necessarily put myself in somebody else's shoes, and I might have fired off a few sentences that I probably would retract right now if I thought about putting myself in the other person's shoes. And that's a really, hearing you say that out loud, you know, is really easy to process and go, you know what? You know, as a leader or when working day to day, are there times where I stop to put myself in the other person's shoes first before reacting or commenting or giving feedback? And, you know, real life example today, it's coming to the end of August. There was a particular job that I was under the impression that was going to be done by the time August was up. and it's not going to be completed by month end. And my reaction was, well, hang on a minute, why not? We said this was going to be done, blah, blah, blah. But had I stopped and put myself in that person's shoes, I knew that they took on a few extra big jobs and tasks that weren't part of the plan. I needed to stop and think about it and reflect, put myself in their shoes and go, hang on a minute, they've knocked out a couple of other big tasks that were game changers for the firm. It's not a big deal. Like, we just needed to communicate a little bit differently. But yeah, it's a great one, Marty. I'm a big fan. I like it.
Yeah, there was another one there that I thought was that was interesting as well, in regards to embracing diverse perspectives and being open to changing your views based on the information you receive or the environments you're around. So you'll always come from your own your own background, your own what you've lived and how you think and what you do. So again, the importance of being open enough that if something makes sense to you based on a perspective of something might be working well, it might be somewhere you haven't been before, it might be different industries. There's so much, I know myself, I've learned outside of the finance industry that I've bought in just purely because having a wide range of different mentors and people in different industries. So again, being tribal is great to a point from a team and and being together, but you got to have widespread different experiences so you can bring in new concepts, new ways of doing things that could be a real game changer in your industry. And it's the same with people too. You don't want more people that are just like yourself, because you're just cloning, really. You're not going to learn much more. So we all like that because it's familiar, but it's good to be tested, and it's good to, like, I was chatting to Nick just at lunch about what he was doing at golf, just where he looks at the ball. And I already learnt when you're on the green or when you're on the fairways, you're looking in front of the ball because that's the natural swing of the club. And I'm going, interesting. I've always looked at the back of the ball. So little things like that is that can happen in everyday business life, everyday life in general. Is paramount. Those subtleties you don't even realize. You're getting such richness for people in real time. And if your view is changed because of that, then so be it. It's all about self-awareness. And you certainly want direction, but you got to be open to being a better you and a newer you, or a more advanced you tomorrow. And I think that's really healthy as well. So thanks for that, Nick.
It's not everyone. That's not for everyone. That's for me, but probably not want to be taking tips off too, just quietly. But anyway, that's
something to try though, right? Why not try it?
You got to keep trying things.
So lots of great things there. I think, academia doesn't always translate to success in the world, and either to street smart. So I think the thing I pick up with Morgan's podcast is it's a combination, but certainly be the driver from your own street smarts and implement intelligence around that and share the intelligence of others in real time, in real experience. Don't just try and do the next course thinking you're going to be successful off the next course. Implement what you learn right away in the real world and test and measure what you learn, because you'll learn so much more in the implementation and having a go. I think that's paramount, and sometimes people miss that. I hope that resonates with the audience and they take something away from that.
Definitely resonated with myself, Marty. And I think given the fact that some of the best feedback we've had was from our Morgan Housel episode. So for those that want more Morgan Housel content without necessarily jumping off our podcast and going over to Morgan's, I think you've got to go back to episode 111, 112, where Marty broke down the 18 wealth lessons from Morgan Housel's Psychology of Money. So definitely, if you haven't gone back through the back catalogue of content, there is plenty of gold hidden in the archives of the Numbers Game episode catalog. So we'd love you to go back and check it out. If you haven't already, share with your friends and family. We are here to unpack things and provide gold and content. And Marty, Nick and I always kind of sit back nodding and enjoying and, just really absorbing your wisdom. So thank you again for sharing. And until next time,
be street smart. Game on.